God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to feed us. God's word to nourish us. God's word to strengthen us. God's word to guide us this morning is from the gospel lesson. And I want you to think about these few verses from the gospel lesson this morning from Matthew chapter 11. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to reflect upon. God's word to strengthen us. God's word to nourish us and guide us this morning. I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about what's going to happen as we stand and sit here on December 15th, 10 days short of that grand celebration of Christmas. What are your expectations? What do you expect? Do you expect some nicely glistening packages under the tree? Or, ladies, do you expect something hidden in the tree that's like a diamond? Or is it diamond? Guys, do you expect another tie? Or shirts? Or something else? What are you expecting under the tree? Maybe you're expecting, like some of the TV commercials of late, the Lexa out in the driveway with the big ribbon on it that been trying to hide in the house. Is that what you expect? Or maybe you expect something else, like a sweater that needs to be returned because it's the wrong size, or a toy for your children or grandchildren that's broken down, or maybe something else, or a meal that didn't really pan out, that your family got arguing about political issues or religious issues that we're told not to discuss around the table. What do you expect for Christmas? What do you think the people expected of Jesus? Because here John sent his disciples to ask of Jesus, "Are you the one? Or do we wait for another?" What were they expecting? In this morning's portals, it talked about this same issue. And the writer said it was to test their faith. I look on it as being doubtful. They wanted to know for sure. John wanted the disciples to know for sure that it was Jesus as the Messiah. You see, first century people were as confused about Jesus as we are now. First century, they wanted someone as a Messiah. And that Messiah was not to take away the sins of the world. That Messiah was totally different. They saw a Messiah coming to give them a utopia on earth. They saw a Messiah that was going to come and rid the land of the Roman rule. Get rid of those Romans. Kick them out of there. That's what they saw as the Messiah. A number of years ago, probably mid-70s, probably 76, summer of 76 or fall of 77, I took a class at Concordia College, St. Paul. Professor was Milton Rudnick. And that class was Religious Bodies of America. And our assignment was to take a religious body and study it and interview people from that religious body and put together a paper, put together a presentation to our class. I thought, oh good, oh great, oh, I'm at ease, I'm on easy street because I will go to the Episcopal Church. Because I grew up Episcopalian. I was baptized and confirmed in St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Duluth, Minnesota, a huge church. And if you've been in Trinity, St. Paul's is about that same size, huge. Anyway, I knew that church. And I went to Milton Rodnick and I said, I choose the Episcopal Church. And he says, oh, Scott, you can't do that. We want you to examine a church that you haven't been used to. Well, I was really cut down. So where did I go? I went to a Reformed Jewish synagogue. Karen and I sat with a young man. The first pew of their synagogue, we sat there and we talked to this young man. And we asked him questions. And we finally got to Jesus. Who do you see Jesus in? And who do you say he is? That young man said, he's a good man, but he's just a good man, nothing more. We left that synagogue shaking our heads because he didn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. He didn't know Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. He didn't know if he was going to heaven or not. You know, Jewish lifestyle is that after this life dies, that's it. That's it. There's nothing more. What are your expectations of Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? In our world today, the millennials, ages 23 to 38, are leaving the church in droves. The fastest growing religion in air quotes, in the United States is Church of None. Not believing in Jesus at all as well. Not believing him, he is the Lord and Savior. What are your expectations of this Jesus? What are your expectations of Christmas? Is it about a dinner that your whole family will be gathered around? Is it about sharing gifts that you have bought and wrapped? What is your expectation Christmas? Is it Jesus coming again as a babe of Bethlehem in a cradle? Oh, we use that term so loosely. He was laid in a feeding trough, a cattle feeding trough with hay. It was ugly. It was smelly. It was terrible. But he's there. And Jesus is reaching his hand up to touch yours, to touch each and every one of your hands with the hand of grace. What are you expecting for Christmas? Years and years ago when I was growing up, we'd have the Christmas list, you know, and we put down on our Christmas list what we wanted. You will be shocked at what I wanted. You know, and I have told you, mentioned this in sermons, but I'm afraid to fly, right? My wish for one Christmas was this fantastic airplane pilot's helmet that you could speak through and everything. I was going to be a jet pilot, if you can believe it. That was my expectation. I didn't really realize the importance of Christmas. Yes, my family went to church. We had the two back pews in St. Paul's Episcopal Church. That was our family pews. But Jesus wasn't spoken in the home. Jesus wasn't spoken at all. Maybe on Sunday, when we'd go to church and we'd have grace at meal on Sunday. No other day. Expectation of Christmas was only about the gifts underneath the Christmas tree. Expectation of Christmas was the loops down on the door that we tore off each day. And you know whose picture was there? Not Jesus. Picture of Santa Claus. The expectation of Christmas was very, very low. But for you and me right now, the expectation of Christmas is high. Because that's when Jesus comes again as a babe of Bethlehem. He comes to wrap his arms of his little arms around you. You who have struggled in this life. You who are living a roller coaster type of life. You who have suffered many things. You have suffered medical issues. You have suffered separations. You have suffered so much, and Jesus has come to you, each and every one of you. That's the expectation of Christmas. John's disciples were there to understand who this Jesus was. We're not told if they took off after learning about what Jesus said, about raising the dead and cleansing the lepers and healing everyone. We don't know if they stayed and heard his explanations about what did you go out to see. But we know we've heard it. We've heard Jesus' words. We've heard the message. And the message is given to each and every one of you to share with those around you. Whether you do it in the manger scenes that you put up in your houses or out on your lawns, or whether it's the message that you send by saying grace at meals, whether it's a message that you send by wearing a cross around your neck, a message of Jesus is what the world needs. The message of Jesus coming as the babe of Bethlehem, coming as the Redeemer, as one who sacrifices himself for our sins, for our lives. The message of Jesus is what this world needs. This message is what your life needs. Your life. Think about it, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the greatest message on the earth. This is the message that God has for us in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And that message is the one that will last and last and last, because God is preparing us to hear the message once again. He has a plan for each one of us. And that plan is to use us as his disciples, to use us as his new creations. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church, at the 5th chapter, the 17th verse, he says, "Therefore, anyone who is in Christ," now that includes you, that includes you, "anyone in Christ, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." The new is for you. The new is for you. The new is you. A few short verses later, the Apostle Paul says, "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us, as though God were using your hands, using your voices, using your presence." You know, we often say when we go to funerals or visitations, and people around here call them wakes, when we go there, we sometimes say, "I don't know what to say. You don't need to say anything. You can hug. You can handshake. You can do that, and that shares your presence. That shares your presence as someone who cares, someone who loves, and God uses you in that respect." That's the expectation of Christmas, that Christ comes as the babe of Bethlehem, that Christ comes for you, and Christ uses you as his servant here in the world. In Christ's holy name, amen.